I want us to reflect a little bit on the past year this morning. Spiritual blessings or spiritual gains, material gains, answers to prayer. Maybe you could reflect on family gains. All of those things can be brought under a bracket or under a heading, God's blessings. Sometimes we could look at material losses as God's blessings. Have you ever experienced that? Someone may take a cut in pay, change jobs, and that job doesn't pay as well, but looking back, the blessings. Or maybe not a change in jobs, but circumstances change at the job. I know a number of years ago, I went from many overtime hours a week down to 36 hours a week because I wouldn't work Sundays. I had to go back to running a machine instead of giving orders to others to run machines. You know, once you start making so much money, it's hard to drop back. It's hard to go backwards. But there were some vital lessons that I was able to learn, I believe, during that time of cinching up the belt. What kind of blessings have you experienced over the last year? This is the last Sunday of another year. If you reflect far enough back, remember the uproar or the emotional upheaval that was taking place at this time in 1999? Looking at Y2K. It's frightening. All kinds of stories were being told as to what was to take place. It was nearly the end of the world. And here we are, staring in the face of 2015. So much has taken place over those last 14 years. What about the past year? What kind of blessings have you received over the past year? The floor is yours. You're welcome to express some blessings. Gains or negatives, subtractions. Amen. I've heard that story before, but it's still just as good now as it was the first time. You know, that's incredible. It may not mean a whole lot to the rest of us, but what a significant answer to prayer to them. We weren't going to necessarily be affected either way, but what a tremendous answer to them. Wow. Anyone else? You don't have to feel intimidated. It's not a game or anything. It's just reflecting. What about spiritual gains? They may be a little more difficult for us to be able to really pinpoint, but spiritual gains. Well, I hope you haven't experienced spiritual losses. Spiritual losses have some consequences that may yet be divvied out. Spiritual gains. Have you gained ground? Have you gained knowledge? Have you gotten closer, moved closer to God? Have you snuggled up a little bit tighter to His side? Walked a little closer, a little more carefully? Prayed a little more, read a little more? You know, that's what our resolutions were 12 months ago. So we reflect back, did we make it? Saw a picture this week of the workout gym on December the 31st, and it was empty. And on January the 1st, it was full. And then on January the 2nd, it was empty again. What about our spiritual resolutions? Did we reflect back? Did we gain those things that we were pressing to gain over the last 12 months? What would we be looking forward to in the next 12 months? As Jesus tarries, as our breath remains, what would we be looking forward to? What are we anticipating in the future? We don't need it to be brought to our attention again, but still, it's here. There's not a one of us that has the guarantee of tomorrow, let alone of another year. What do we anticipate in the next year? There's no guarantee of tomorrow, and yet we have the hope of tomorrow, and in the midst of the hope of tomorrow, we have no guarantee of how bright tomorrow will be, or the tomorrows. We don't have any hope of a guarantee that it's going to be bright. Oh, we have the guarantee that God will never leave us nor forsake us. That's something that we can hang on to. We can clutch. Figuratively speaking, you can take it to the bank. God's bank. He never forsakes His own. He will not turn His back on. Now, it may get dark. We've seen and heard of people that have had dark experiences. Maybe you've experienced some dark places, some valleys where it felt like the shadow of death was pressing in upon you, perhaps, over the last year. Psalmist David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." It's something we can hang on to. We can grasp in the midst of those dark times. But really, we have no guarantee of tomorrow's being bright. The conspiracy theorists that are around us would say that we are looking at some very dark days in the United States. And the prophets of doom and gloom would say that there are some big changes coming in the United States. And you and I might have enough of those characteristics in us to agree. We may not want to call ourselves a prophet of gloom and doom or a conspiracy theorist, but we have enough of it in us to say, you know, we just don't know what this year holds for us. As a matter of fact, when we look ahead to the days that are ahead before us, the year that is before us, the approaching hope of 2015, there's all sorts of stuff that lies before us, that is out there in front of us, that we have no clue about. And one of those things would be people. Another thing would be problems. And those people and problems can be pitfalls to us. They can be perils to us. Things that we meet on the path of life. Maybe you've read some of the news reports of the recent happenings of individuals that have lost their lives in the midst of police and people confrontations. Some people in the midst of their thoughts would say, well, they deserve everything they got. Well, at least we don't have to worry about that scum anymore. Maybe you've even felt it somewhat in your own thinking, and as you've read the reports and you've heard the reports and you've said, must have been a troubled person. That must have been a troubled youth. That person must have had a bad upbringing. When really Scripture would remind us that it's not so much the upbringing that has led them to the point of their demise, but it could just simply be that their path crossed the path of somebody or some problem, and it began to shift their lives in their direction. I can flip to the back of my Bible, or nearly to the back of my Bible, and find all of these subjects that are covered. And there is a whole section that is covered in the back here that talks about associations. Warnings concerning associations. Warnings concerning companionship. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. That's in the book of Exodus. That's early on in the lives of the children of Israel, when they were making some plans and pointing in a direction, and God was saying to them, be careful about your associations. You see, there's people out there that can and will lead us astray. No, it's not that we plan to go that way. No, it's not that we have that in our mind that when I meet so-and-so, I'm going to go their way. That's not it at all. The psalmist says it very clear, and we can find ourselves falling into this trap very easily. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight. You see, that is the recipe to keep a person from being affected by those associations and by the counsel of the ungodly. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know, that's not me preaching, that's God's word. There's a whole bunch of verses here that we could look at. We could probably take hours and look at each one of them individually, looking at this thing of associations and the warnings concerning associations. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Now that's the King James translation. Let me give you the New American Standard translation. Bad company corrupts good morals. What does the future hold for any one of us? You say, preacher, you're talking to the wrong crowd. No, I'm not. This is God's word, and I believe that it's written for all of us. It's a warning to all of us. Because some may have good upbringing, but friendships, contacts, situations can and do directly affect our pathway. I think perhaps the individual that sticks in my mind the most as an extreme. Not everybody's this way. There's extremes. There's some people, though most of the people are in between the extremes. But the extreme would be the person that is known commonly today as Marilyn Manson. I don't know if I've mentioned him here before or not, but you know, I think about him as an example of how bad things can go. His real name was Brian. He was brought up in Christian schools. He was brought up in church. He was brought up in a Christian family. He had what we would consider to be a good upbringing. But somewhere along the line, something happened. bad company corrupts good morals. Contacts, situations, they bring changes in our lives. I can look back over my life and I can see individuals that had I continued to hang with them, the direction I would have gone would have been downward. I can also look back and see the people that I've had contact with, and from that contact, my life has been bettered. I prefer to look at that side of it. Maybe you do too. I can look back and reflect and thank God for all of those associations and all of those contacts and all of those issues or problems, perhaps we could say, and all of those circumstances that have helped make me better rather than bitter. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. Now, I suppose as we look at this and have some hope for tomorrow and have some bright hope for tomorrow in the spiritual side, the spiritual gains, there are some things that we can do, or there is one thing that we can do that has not already been mentioned, although what I've already mentioned falls into it. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. That's a very major part of it. But what is the prescription for us to have spiritual gains in the year ahead? What do you anticipate to help you gain spiritually this year? I hope that you don't anticipate losses spiritually. I hope that you're looking forward to a closer walk, a more careful walk, a more deliberate walk. Maybe have a personal revival, spiritual revival in your heart to where you have a greater sense of His daily presence. Maybe you have anticipation that your devotional time with the Lord becomes more vibrant, more alive. God, pour out Your Spirit upon me this year, is your cry. Jesus has something to say about the direction that we go with our spiritual hopes. He says it this way, and Matthew records it in chapter 6, Luke records it in chapter 12. He said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I wonder if we can interchange that. Where your heart is, there will your treasure be. Jesus seems to say that where your treasure is, I guess that would be our goals, our anticipation, the hunger part of our lives. And where our hunger is, there will our heart be. That will be the focus. That will be the core. That will be what I strive for. Where your treasure is. Where is your treasure in your heart? Are we so naive this morning? I trust that we aren't. But are we so naive this morning that we think that simply because my treasure is such today that it will always be that way? Or do I have an understanding that as I meet people and face problems, my treasure could change? Are we so religious and so spiritual that I am established in God's grace and I can't stumble? You know, there's a lot of people that I look to in my life, and maybe as I say this, you can reflect on some in yours too, that I'd never dreamed would stumble. And yet through the circumstances of life and the people of life, the treasure seemed to shift. And as that treasure shifted, their heart followed. And instead of having spiritual gains, they experienced spiritual losses. I don't believe that they intended to do that. I don't believe that they set themselves out and said, okay, I'm going to take my right foot this morning as I get out of bed and I'm going to head down a different path. I received a letter sometime years ago, not since I've been here. Received a letter from an individual that was attending their church, and that individual said that they wouldn't be coming back to church anymore because they determined that they were going to go a different direction. I might still have that letter somewhere, I'm not sure. The last time I had preached to that person, I had left the platform, which you know I very seldom do. Never have had a habit of leaving the platform and walking the aisle as some preachers do. That's just, I don't know, it scares me to get too close. But for some reason, the last time I preached to that individual, I had walked down to the center aisle and I had leaned on a pew right over here to where I was preaching right in front of that individual. Went away for a weekend, and when she got back, she wrote me the letter. Without seeing me, without face-to-face, she asked me not to come visit her, but I'm just going to go a different direction. That didn't just happen overnight. It may appear to be that way in the letter, the way it was written. It may just appear that all of a sudden through this weekend experience that I'm throwing everything that I once believed away and I'm going to go a different direction. I don't believe that that's what happened. I believe that it was building and it was working. Something, somewhere, someone had begun to change that person's treasure. You see, our treasure can change due to the people or the problem that we may encounter. There's three pathways that I want to leave you with this morning. Three pathways from the confrontation of Christ's birth. You know, Christmas is only a few days past. What is it, 361 days till Christmas next? Three paths that lead from the confrontation of Christ's birth. The first one would be that of the wise men. Now, as I say this, it may sound like I'm talking about the story that I just said, but the wise men went another way home. I'm not meaning it that way. That's not what I'm referring to. When I say the wise men went a different way, they went a different way because God told them to go a different way. And it was not contrary to what He had told them before. We must keep that in mind. God's will never leads us in a different direction from His Word that has already been given right here. God's Word. But the wise men went a different direction. They went a different way home. They changed course because God told them to change course. The second aspect that I want us to grasp about the wise men was that they changed course to avoid corrupt people or a corrupt person. I believe that that's good wisdom for us today. As we look ahead and see the path that is before us that leads from the confrontation of Christmas, of the Christ child being born, as we look ahead to the year before us, we must remember that when God tells us, when God speaks to us, when God shares His will with us, we follow, even if it is an appearance that we have changed course. We are aligning ourselves with His will. And that we may avoid corrupt people. the second path that leads from the confrontation of Christ's birth. Not the confrontation of Christ himself, but the confrontation of Christ's birth would be that of the pathway of Herod. We don't need to spend too much time there. I suppose that Herod was a wicked man from the get-go. There were stories about him. We can read history about him, and he was surely a wicked man. But this simple confrontation of a baby being born that was said to be the king of the Jews stirred a jealousy within him that led him to hatred, that led him very quickly to be a murderous man against innocent people. And all I see there for us really is not that he was a murderer and that we could tend to go down that path. No, it's just simply the circumstances of our life can feed a jealousy or feed a bitterness or lead us away simply because of these little circumstances of life. You know, some guys showed up and said, "Herod, where is he that is born king of the Jews?" "Excuse me, what are you talking about, a born king?" And suddenly his fire of jealousy is ignited. "Oh no, it won't happen to me." We best be careful about how quickly we stand to say no, it won't, when we may not be walking in those shoes just yet. The third pathway is more like ours. I hope it's more like ours. Do you know what that pathway would be? It's found in Luke 2. It's something that is common to us. You've probably read it and you've heard it read a few times this Christmas season. And that's the path of the shepherds. What did the shepherds do when they left this confrontation of Christ's birth? In verse number 17, "And when they had seen it," the manger scene, "when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." They caused a stir. They caused some people to talk. They caused somebody to stop and pay attention to what the angels had told the shepherds. Now the shepherds were dirty, messed up individuals. But still, even though they were of that lot, the message of the angels and the experience of the confrontation of his birth produced within them something that caught the attention of people around them, to where it says in Scripture, "And all they that heard it wondered at those things." Now, we don't know how many people came to the knowledge of salvation through the shepherd's story. We don't have any record of that whatsoever. But the thing that stands out for us to understand about the path of the shepherds is that they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. You can reflect over the next few days, and you probably will, of the years or the days past. And through this time, you will also be looking ahead, wanting to know, anticipating what is to come before us. But let's be reminded again of these three paths that lead from the confrontation of Christ's birth. And I don't think that you want to worry so much about King Herod's path. That's something that we want to stay away from entirely. But that we take note of the wise men's path, that we obey God's direction, that we stay and avoid evil associations, bad company corrupts good morals. But that we also bring in the path of the shepherds to glorify and praise God and stir up the hearts of people around us because of the story of Jesus Christ. Not just the story of Christmas, but the story of Christ. That he died for our sins, that he died for their sins, that he shed his blood as the payment for and the penalty for the sins of mankind, to bring them, reconcile them to God, bring them into a relationship with God the Father, prepare us for heaven, write our name in the book of life. We can testify to that based on our own experience, that be a witness for Him. What are your anticipations? What are you looking forward to? The spiritual gains will come to pass as we keep our treasure in God, in His Word, in heaven, and keep our heart following that treasure. Because it will. Glorifying and praising God for all that they'd seen and heard. Anticipate Him. Let's stand together this morning.